As Alaskans grapple with the effects of a warming planet, they look to federal and state agencies to help with problems that are too big for an individual or even a community to tackle. But it's not clear if statutes, regulations, and agency funding are up to the task. KMBA's Jacqueline Estes has this story in a series on climate change.
Dozens of federal and state agencies are working with communities trying to recover from disasters, rebuild infrastructure, protect against further damage, or relocate. But James Blow of Alakanuk says agency funds often come with impractical or counterproductive requirements, and he says it can be hard to reach people.
You know, getting people to talk with you is almost impossible. They either, you got to talk to this person, or we can't help you. We don't know what we should do. You need to call the Corps of Engineers. We call them. They said, well, it's out of our hands. And it's just around and around in a circle.
Civil Project Management Chief Bruce Sexauer in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Alaska office says the Corps does have to work within certain limits, such as funding levels set by Congress. It has to evaluate projects to see that costs don't exceed benefits, and he says the Corps requires matching funding.
A local community still needs to provide 35% of the cost, and so a $10 million project, that's a significantly large project for a small community to be able to handle.
Eugene Asiksik is the former mayor and current vice mayor of Shaktulik, a village of 230 people who live on a spit with Norton Sound on one side and the Shaktulik River on the other, a community where sea ice no longer blunts the force of severe storms. He says over the years, federal and state agencies provided studies with valuable information and funds for some projects, but not enough money, he says, for the big steps that are necessary. Asiksik says as the years passed, storms worsened and eventually one hurled drift logs too close to people's homes.
We encountered storms in 2009, 2011, and 2013. And 2013 storm was the first time that the driftwood have crested over to where the houses were built.
Terry Johnson, a Marine Advisory Program agent with the University of Alaska, says he and consultant Glenn Gray began working with Shaktulik in 2011 to develop a climate change adaptation strategy. Johnson says the village had formed a committee with two representatives each of the tribe, the city, and the village corporation. He says community priorities were clear: to save lives in the event of inundation and to protect property such as water storage and fuel tanks, the school, homes, and offices.
What we did is listen to what the committee told us, and then we set out to find information that would help them decide what the best approaches were, and we kind of packaged that information. And we drafted what we called a decision document, which was really just a set of descriptions of the problem, descriptions of potential solutions to the problem, and then a set of questions, you know, do you want to take this approach, yes or no?
Asiksik says village leaders reviewed options, including construction of an evacuation center and relocation, but decided they were cost prohibitive because of the cost-benefit ratio requirement for federal dollars. He says the village received $620,000 from the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, and the local tribe, city, and village corporation pitched in with fuel, heavy equipment, and gravel to forge ahead with a project to protect themselves.
Now we have a berm about a mile and a half long in front of the village, and the gravel berm is about 8 to 10 feet high in places and 10 to 12 feet wide.
Asiksik says when it can afford to, the village will plant vegetation on the berm to strengthen it and will soon be working with agencies to restore an area where erosion has brought the sea to within 100 feet of the runway. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jacqueline Estes.